United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 different countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert, A Journey Through Ascetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace, through music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her love and compassion to all parts of the U.S. From Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following discussion with Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members entitled The Nature of the Master in San Jose, California, USA, on July 17, 1994.
We should be just an independent person. Practice, cleanse ourselves as much as we can, and do whatever useful to ourselves and to this society. Anytime you lost your purity or pure thinking, that you're immediately in trouble. Every time you're not careful and just hang your rock next to the fire, it burns. You can't tell the fire to be careful. Because the nature of the fire is like that. Everything in the universe has a nature of its own, and it has to function the way God wants it to function. You have to be careful all this time. Your attention must be always fixed on your clothes, you know, your distance with the fire. Just like when you're around with the master, you always keep your mind centered, pure. Never any doubt, never any negative thinking. Then you'll never have trouble. Everything in this world has a nature of its own. Some is charming, some is seducing, like the candy, the chocolate, the cakes, and some burn everything, like the fire, as long as you get near, right? Some like the master, you know, you can never understand him. You can never understand her. She's 1 minute like that, the other minute like this. You know, and she does a lot of things, but we never see her do anything. Everything is so incomprehensible. the so-called master is like that. So we should just be careful if we are around, keep our mind pure. But sometimes you cannot catch up with it, right? Yeah, you cannot catch up with your mind. Before you catch up with it, it's already thought about something. It's too late. And then the master already caught it. Already there. That's why most of the master never stay around with disciples. Not too many. Or maybe his family members. If he or she happen to marry, have children, then they just stay around with the family members. But not to be too closely associated with the so-called students. You see, the Sakyamuni Buddha, he was very famous all over India. And he was a prince, and his acquaintance are a lot. And of course, many people would like to have also to be acquainted with him, because he's from a royal lineage. Also, he was a master of great hate. But you see, he took only him. He took Ananda, only one person around him. And even then, sometimes he scolded the only one person. Because sometimes he went out begging. But he preferred that shop instead of the other shop. The richer shop, for example, or the poorer shop. Sometimes with his ego, he thinks too much. He thinks, oh, the rich people has already a lot of merit, so I don't go back in there. So I go to the poor family. So the poor people will have more merit in the future. They become rich, and they become a Buddha, etc., etc. And the Buddha scolded him, said, you don't discriminate. You just follow the order. Whatever shop you pass by, you come in and ask for food. For example, like that. Or when he went shopping, he deliberately went to the wrong house. He went to the house of the beauties, for example. And then he probably intentionally, not being careful, and got caught into the web of the beauties. Yeah, beauty salon, something like that. And then he made trouble for himself. Maybe unintentionally or intentionally unintentionally. But the Buddha also was caught inside with him. You know, because when he had trouble, whom would he call? Master! Master, I'm in trouble! That's why the Buddha said to his disciples, if you want to avoid trouble, and you should have avoided this and that and these things before you get yourself into a mess. Therefore, they have a lot of precepts. This is for the nun, the monks only. Like if they go begging, shopping, they should not look into the eyes of the people. Just look down to their nose and watch 3 yards in front of them on the road. That's all there is. But Anand, he always thinks he knows better. Sometimes just have a look, it doesn't matter. So he looked around sometimes, and that's how he got into trouble. He didn't pay attention to small precepts. That's the Buddha has taught him, because the Buddha wanted those monks to protect themselves. It's okay if you don't want to be a monk, but somebody don't like to be married. They like to keep their purity or virginity forever. That's fine. Everybody treasures something. If you really treasure your bachelorship, then keep it. Yeah, and there are many ways to protect it. Just like you have a very nice antique in your house, huh? Or some precious thing, and you want to keep it. Huh? And there are many ways to keep it. You lock your house when you go out, and put it in a safe or something, and only occasionally take out and have a look at it. Make sure you still have it. But if you put this kind of precious treasure outside in the yard or outside of the gate, and everybody passing by can see it, and then you even introduce, you say, look, pass by my house on the left side of the gate, that is the most precious thing. It costs $200,000 laying there for you to have a look. Then will you have it long? No, of course not long. It's all right if you don't treasure it. Or you do not care about antiques or precious things. then you don't even have to buy it even. You don't even have to carry it into your house and exchange a lot of money for it. For us, because we work very hard, we're sweating, that's just to buy 2 bowls of rice for our children every day. Why should we spend a lot of money for a little thing? And for us, we don't even care if we have it. Therefore, it doesn't matter. Fine. So therefore, the value of chastity, of monkhood, is similar. So I do not praise anymore monkhood, and I do not degrade the people who are married because of that. The value of anything is according to your own taste. It's the best for you. Just like your wife is the best woman in the world, perhaps. In a world there are many billions of women, but you chose her. You like her. Without her, you cry, you die, you leave halfway. You work hard to give her everything she wants. Because if she's happy, you're happy. Because you loved her. Because she's the most precious thing in your life. But do not expect anybody else to praise your wife when their wife is much more better, more virtuous, more talented, and cook better food, for example. So the value is individual. So similarly, the Buddha gave disciples a lot of precepts, especially to the monks, 250, to the woman, 350. But only because these people wanted to concentrate on meditation, on the way of Tao only, and they don't want to waste their time or divert their attention to any other matter in this world, whether it's pleasurable or not pleasurable. Therefore, the Buddha tell them, okay, in that case, I tell you what to do so that you can concentrate on this and have your wish fulfilled. Just like if you want to play football, then the instructor would tell you, okay, now you kick left, kick right, but don't kick in the middle. For example, like that. Then you have to respect these rules. If you want to become a football star, or at least a player, otherwise people will kick you out because you don't respect their rules. And you can't play together if everybody kicks to the right and he alone kicks to the left. Similarly, the monks or the nuns or whoever have their liking, have their way of life, and that's their way of life. But that doesn't mean that way of life is for everybody, and it doesn't mean that it's the supreme, or that doesn't mean that it's the best. Whatever you want to be, you be. So now, just similar, we have some simple precepts. These are just like the tradition that we keep in order so that we can play well the meditation game. Just like football. Now if we don't hear, we don't play well. And people don't want to accept us in this group. Just like football players, one person do not respect the rule. How can the whole group play? Even two groups are spoiled by one person of any group, of the opposite group or even of their own group. So the opposite group and the own group must play together in harmony, must respect the same rules. Therefore, you always ask me why I can't just beat the devils and kick him out and then set free the whole world or set free the disciples, at least cook all their karma into curry and then finish with it. Well, I've overcome karma for this life, things like that. So that sometimes the disciple also experience suffering and sickness or a little bit. It's already much better than before because you're cleansing your house every day with meditation and vegetarian broomstick. People always clean the house with broomstick. When you eat cabbage or things like that, they have a lot of fibers. And that cleans your system also. That makes you more healthy each day. That's why all of you look younger than before. Is that not so? Yeah. No need beauty salon. The reason why any master cannot completely erase the bad karma of the disciples or the bad karma of this world or interfere in any kind of unfavorable circumstances is because both have to respect the rule of this playing field. Just like both opposite party in a football field have to respect the same rules. So, similarly, in this world, there are two groups playing. One is positive, outside, And the other one is negative. Enemy side. So-called, huh? Always make trouble for us and make us obstacles and everything. We live in this world. We have interconnection with them in many lifetimes. So we cannot now, because it's our friend, we forget what we have done to them, our friend have done to them in the past, and just cover our friends up and treat the opposite injustly. Therefore, it's not that we don't have power. It's not that the master cannot do anything. The master can change the whole universe. But we have to be fair. Otherwise, we're not worth to be saints or saintly practitioners. That's why you see sometimes many masters, they're very patient. Like Shakyamuni Buddha. He can go to any Buddha land, can do anything he wants. He can take care of disciples' karma, he can make people become arahant overnight. But he cannot change the karma of his birthplace when they have war and conflict with the neighboring country. Just because he don't want to treat people, other beings, unfairly. But that also costs him his reputation. Many people, including his disciples at that time, was losing faith in him, thinking that he cannot do anything. Even his own clan's members are being harmed, are going to be chopped away, and he can't do nothing about it. He went there and talked to them only, but that's the only thing he did. He tried to convince them the harmful effect of war and of retribution circle of karma, but they did not listen. Their karma power is too strong that they pull them together and they clash together and they die together. The Buddha could not intervene because he's a fair player. Similar to Jesus Christ, he has many magical powers, so he must be able to save himself, but he did not. He let it be. Amila Rebha of Tibet, he knew that he is going to die from this poison. So in fact, he said to the woman, you first go and take the price of poisoning me from the person first, and then I drink it. Otherwise, if I drink it, I die, and he might not give you the money. So they all know before they die. Shakyamuni Buddha also know that he is going to die. He already said 3 months after, I will go to Great Nirvana, I mean leave the world. Ananda was probably thinking too much of something else, or he was hungry thinking of chapati. And he couldn't hear what the Buddha said at that time. So the Buddha said 3 times, hinting 3 times. Ananda did not ask the Buddha to remain in this world. And then Ananda woke up from his chapati dream and he was crying, oh, please don't go. But it's too late. When the Buddha asked 3 times and you don't answer, that's fixed. Maya, the king of illusion, always stay around Buddha. And when Ananda did not answer, the king of illusion said, see, nobody wants you. So you have to go. So the Buddha said, all right. So he knows it. But he still go. He could have waited for another time when Ananda is fully eaten and well meditated and clear mind, and then he would ask this question and Ananda probably know what to say. Say, oh please, Master, you don't go. But he chose the wrong time, perhaps because he should have gone anyhow. Just like Milarepa, just like Jesus Christ, he knows before he went. He said, this is the last time, yeah, you see me. After tomorrow or in a while, you will not see me anymore. And he even tell his disciple, the one who dip the bread in the sauce, such and such, are the one who will sell me. So these so-called masters of the world, they know everything. They know what they're doing, but sometimes they play along with whatever it is. Because this world has already come into being. You cannot annihilate. Because many people want to stay. The whole population of this world cling to this planet and don't want to let go. So even the Buddha will not destroy it. Even God will not destroy it. If the karma is not so heavy. if it's still balanced, then the planet still exists. But if the planet exists, there is give and take of the karma, and it will never finish. Today they kill him, and the other day his children will kill them, and then their children will kill his children, and so on, so on, so on. Until these group of people wake up by themselves and realize the uselessness of this forever unending evil circle. So they stop revenge and they stay still, and then everything will become different. For example, any president, if he wants to join a football team, even if he's the president and he's respected the whole world, can he join in without going in any room of the football team? Can he kick around anything he wants? No. They will refuse him. Similarly, this world is a play field of the sentient beings of this planet and of this kind of level consciousness. I say this world is the play field of the planet dwellers, like human beings, animals, or ghosts, the goblins, those who stay around the planet invisible. So even if God wants to come here and persuade some of his children to come home, or try to find those who want to come home with him, he has to respect the rules.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Up next on Supreme Master Television is Healthy Living, right after Noteworthy News. May your days be beautiful and joyous.